words that you have laid on the heart of Devlin to share with us. We thank you, Lord, for that. We pray your blessing on him as we undertake this journey together, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us, and pray your blessing on all the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Facing the giants. I shouldn't be surprised, in fact I'm not surprised anymore, when things in the service just sort of all tie together. When I started to prepare this message, I thought I knew where I wanted to go, and I was writing stuff and I went somewhere else, and that's okay, that's good. And then listening this morning to the prayers, to the leading, to everything else, there's lots of things that tie in with today's message. So that's great. It sort of gives me a bit of confidence that I'm on the right track. So, good morning, everyone. Morning. You respond more than my students do. They just sit there like, It is indeed a privilege and an honour to be given the opportunity to share a message with you. But I'd like to start with a word of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 to 5, Paul says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the hope I have for you this morning, that your focus will not be on the wisdom or persuasiveness of my teaching, but on the message that God wants you to hear. The greatest thing about being in church, and anywhere else for that matter, is that God meets you at your place of need. Lean not on your own understanding, but lean upon the Lord." Today I want to talk to you about giants, specifically about facing your giants. It's easy to talk about giants when they're in someone else's life, when they're lumbering over someone else's landscape. But what about when you find them on your doorstep? Or you find one has invaded your home, or even worse, one has taken residence in your mind. When a giant becomes your giant, you begin to understand how intimidating they can be. And your giant always seems larger than someone else's giant. These giants have many names, and they seem to be most menacing when they enter the valleys of your life, the time when you are feeling lowest. We could define a giant as a big, seemingly insurmountable problem or issue. And there are many metaphorical giants facing Australia and Australians today. It was interesting speaking to Alan this morning, and I said, "I'm talking about giants." And he said, "Well, that could be anything." Exactly. That's the point. It could be anything. Personal giants could include challenges in your health or the health of your loved ones. There could be challenges in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships, or lack of relationships. There could be challenges in your job or your lack of a job. There could be temptation, addiction, fear, loneliness, discouragement, or debt, or any number of other things that are causing you angst and distress. We've heard a few times this morning about Nicola McDermott, who won a silver medal last night. The giant she faced was that 2-metre barrier. Now, 2 metres is pretty high. I'm 1.84. So she had that barrier in her mind. She could not beat 2 metres. And she did beat it before the Olympics. Her personal best was 2.01, so she just did it. But with her faith in God, she overcame that giant, and she jumped 2.04 last night. Australian record, personal best. And if you watched the event, and I'm sure some of you did, She praised God before every jump. She would smile. She'd say something. She's got a verse tattooed on her wrist. She'd lift up her hands. She'd get the crowd to clap. She'd G herself up, and then she would jump. But always that faith. Always God first. And it was great to see on TV. So in Australia, national giants could include the coronavirus, though not so much in WA. Domestic violence, cost of living, housing affordability, employment or lack of employment, and security and law and order. There's the giant task of revitalizing the church and evangelizing the country. There is pressure on the church to transform society, and yet there is pressure to reduce religious freedoms and protection and silence our voices, much like Goliath tried to do to the Israelite army. Global giants might include climate change, extreme poverty, preventable diseases, the need for primary education, and the need for worldwide water sanitation, which, by the way, could be solved with the amount of money Europeans spend on ice cream each year. Many times in life we will face giants that seem impossible to conquer. But God promises in His Word we already have the victory in Christ. Faith doesn't always seem to be the best option, but truth be told, it is the only option that will bring true victory. We all know what it's like to face a challenge that seems impossible to conquer. We all know what it's like to face a giant, and giants are not a modern phenomenon. There are many battles in the Bible where people who consider themselves ill-equipped fought against giants. In Exodus, we read about Pharaoh pursuing the Israelites. That would have been a big giant. In Joshua, there's a famous story of Israel marching the city of Jericho, the humiliating defeat, and then conquest the city of Ai. Ai, however you pronounce that. Once sin had been removed from the camp and the soldiers renewed their focus. In Judges, we have Gideon's 300 against 135,000 Midianites. There are many more instances in the Bible of battles or wars or giants being faced. There is the giant that appears on the pages of Scripture in 1 Samuel 17. And you've heard this story many times. You know how it starts. You know how it ends. But imagine yourself in that valley. How would you have reacted? Goliath was a giant. He was 9 feet 7 inches tall. Even Nicola McDermott couldn't clear that. An undefeated champion wearing heavy armor, huge, intimidating, imposing, standing and shouting, defying the people of God. Now, to give you an idea of how tall 9 feet 7 inches is, Robert Ludlow, one of the world's tallest men, he stood 8 feet 11.1. And this guy here, he's a little bit taller than me. He'd be about 6 foot 1. And Goliath is taller than Robert Ludlow is. How would you like to face that? That would be terrifying. So in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath stood and shouted, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Upon hearing this, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And so would I be. Right. Yet David stepped up, dressed in a tunic, a shepherd boy with no military experience, armed with a sling, 5 smooth stones about the size of a tennis ball, and the name of the Almighty God. That was enough. You know how the story ends. The giant fell. A shepherd boy defeated a mighty warrior. God brings giants, storms, and challenges into our lives, not because He wants us to suffer, but so that we will grow in our character and in our faith. The encouragement lies within the pages of the Bible. The words are written to inspire and reassure you when you come face to face with a giant. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You're not facing these giants alone. The proof is there in Joshua. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When we're facing these giants in our lives, it's important to remember words of Scripture that reassure us we're not alone. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Romans 8:11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:18. I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us once we conquer these giants. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 and 9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Because God is with us. We may feel crushed, but we're not. There's a way out. There's a way to be uncrushed, if you could be uncrushed. Anyway, we don't have to be in despair. We have to lean upon God, upon his word, upon his promises. 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In Philippians 4:12 and 13, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do this through him who gives me strength. After David struck Goliath and killed him with his stone against this giant of a man in full armor, I guess maybe this part of his head wasn't protected by armor very well. It says in verse 54 that David took Goliath's weapons and placed them in his tent, in his own tent. What else was in David's tent? Perhaps the paw of a bear, the mane or the tail of a lion, the tokens of victory, the reminders of lion and bear stories that were survived. The reminders of those moments when a giant was defeated. There are many people in this room who have defeated giants in their lives and continue to fight. I don't know all of your stories, and I'm not going to share the ones that I do know. But suffice to say, there are giant killers in this room and in this church whose faith I really admire. Rob and Sue, Ron and Dot, Murray and Pam, Alan and Robin, Ed and Allison, Brian and Ruth. You are people of faith that I admire. People who have stayed the course, defeated the giants, and remained true to God. I'm sure there are many other stories from people in the seats before me of giants being defeated. Perhaps we could share those stories one day Wouldn't that be a great time of fellowship where we can sit around and share a meal and swap stories of how we defeated the giant that opposed us? I think that'll be an uplifting time for everyone. In my own life, I have faced many giants. Some have felt like they defeated me, but I kept going, so I guess they didn't. One that came to mind while I was preparing this message happened just over 10 years ago. I had just moved from the house that I built to escape renting into a rental. My kids had to start at a new school. They left their friends and teachers that they knew. I was between jobs, moving in a direction I wanted to go. I decided to stop teaching. I had had enough. Teachers like, yeah, I know, I understand. I was working for an education scholarship company, trying to learn day trading for stocks and working the occasional day as a relief teacher to earn a bit more money to fund our lifestyle. I was pushing my own agenda, doing what I wanted to do. But I didn't want to teach anymore. I was too stressed, too tired, too burnt out. In the first term of school, so 50 days on average in a term, I worked 10 relief days out of 50. Some of the days off were through choice. Some were because no school contacted me, but that was okay. I didn't want to teach anymore anyway. Partway through that year, I was facing an all-too-common giant. I was stressing over finances, stressing over how to pay the bills, stressing over how I was going to get better at a sales-type job that I really wasn't good at. That was hard to acknowledge. I don't like not being good at things. I can't remember the exact time or date. It would have been in term 2 or 3, but I was home alone. Beck was at work, kids were at school. It's the worst time for me. Alone with my thoughts, that's even worse, and agonizing over the choices I had made and the ones I still had to make. I felt lost, isolated, broken. It's the only time in my life that I can remember, the only time in my life I can remember, where I felt the urge to fall upon my knees and speak to God aloud. I felt I had to vocalize that I actually had no control over that part of my life, and that I had to let go and let God. I had to stop making decisions in my own strength and listen to what God had planned for me. And that was what I did. Kneeling on the dining room floor, practically weeping, His will became apparent. I thought I was done with teaching. Like I said, in term 1, I worked only 10 days. In term 4, I had 6 days off. God wanted me in the classroom. The first giant I had to face was that wasn't what I wanted to do, or so I thought. The insurmountable giant of worry about money and finances and career that I created was of my own doing. It was certainly not insurmountable when God was beside me and encouraging me and supporting me. God knew what I needed. He knew where I needed to be. He was waiting for me there. I just had to listen, step out in faith, and join Him, and that made all the difference. All giants seem larger than they really are. You will think that you will not be able to get control over them, but whatever the giant is, it is not larger than our God. No giant is larger than our Savior. Never forget your own lion and bear stories. Never forget those times when you defeated Goliath. Never forget that in your deepest valleys, God is there with you. Never forget that God is standing there with you, facing the giant with you, hearing the prayers you pray with a weak faith. Never forget that God answered your prayer. When that crucial moment arrives and you're facing your giants, remember 5 crucial words. The battle is the Lord's. We could all remember five simple words. The battle is the Lord's. The day you take on a giant in your own flesh is the day you will face defeat. The Israelite army was focused on Goliath, focused on the giant, and they became terrified and dismayed. David realized that his God, or David knew his God, was greater than any giant. And so he placed his focus on the Lord. Psalm 91, verse 1 to 5 reads, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." Fear nothing, writes the psalmist. Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Say aloud, God is my refuge. I trust in you, and I am safe. Actually, let's say that together. God, you are my refuge. I trust in you, and I am safe. Now, we can say these words. It's easy to say. Do you believe it? Do I believe it? When you're faced with the giants of your life, can you honestly say, God, you are my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. I trust in you to get me through this, whatever this is, whatever giant is in your life. I must admit, I don't always. I like to solve my own problems, thank you very much, especially ones I've created. It's easy to say, it's easy to read, it's much harder to do. God, you are my refuge, I trust you, and I am safe. God's outstretched arms will protect you. Under them, you are perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. There is no giant so great that God is not greater. There is no giant that cannot be defeated. We don't need to be afraid about the future. We can enjoy the present without fear. The battle is the Lord's. Every battle is the Lord's. You can face your battles and defeat your giants if you stand alongside the Lord. Face your giants. Call upon the Lord. Stare down the bear and the lion and the Goliath and defeat them. Celebrate the victory. Your giants will always be there. Your giants will seem insurmountable. Your giants will feel like they can defeat you. They might feel like they're 9'7" like Goliath, and you're only 6 foot tall. So they tower over you. Don't run from your giants. Face your giants. Call upon the Lord. Celebrate the victory that you know is yours. Every battle belongs to the Lord. And every battle the Lord has won. So if you face your giants, if you call upon the Lord, you can celebrate the victory you know is going to come. It's going to come in God's timing, might not be yours, but that victory will come. And you can face your giants with the knowledge that you will defeat them. Can I pray for you? Lord, as I face the giants in my life, I need the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon me and your presence within me. Give me the courage not to run away, not to lose hope, and not to give up. Help me to be like David and focus on you and be a person after your own heart. Help me to remember as I face the giants that the battle is yours and you will let me share in the spoils of victory. Help me to remember as I face the giants in my life that there is no giant that is greater than you. Amen. The last song we're going to do, I'm going to shift the order around a bit, but